Welcome to the Good Girl Gone Goddess podcast, a soft place to land when you are ready to navigate the journey of deconstruction and reclamation. I'm U'ilani, a mixed Native Hawaiian woman and mother, here to share my lived experiences on this sacred path. On this podcast, we'll explore the transition from the good girl who checks all the boxes to embodying our inner goddess who rips the boxes apart, reclaiming our authentic selves and allowing our personal evolution to unfold. On this show, you'll find supportive tools, personal spirituality practices, wisdom talks, and more as we embrace the beauty of life's complexities. So I invite you to take a breath, open your heart, and embrace the mana and magic that flows through our everyday lives. Welcome to the show. Let's begin. So today's episode, I was really looking forward to sharing because it has been playing in my mind for the last few weeks since my yoga teacher shared this mana'o, as well as my hula teacher who shared something very similar. And I thought about how I wanted to bring both lessons that have been deeply integrating in my life right now, which is to embody the ma, embodying the mother, embodying this maturing or this aging, if you will, this fullness of life. And I've been in a season where I was in a season for a long time, it felt like, you know, in this timelessness, if you will. I know it seems so short now, but when I was in the thick of this emptying season, it was like the stripping away, and this emptying was just forever and ever. And then more recently, I've been in this filling up and this fullness and this overflow, and it's been so beautiful. And from this place, I feel more resourced to share, to return to the things that give our life-giving to me and to those who are open to hear what I have to say. And even though there's so much fullness and I can't give and do all the things that maybe I'd like to do in my mind, what I have to offer is just this for now. It's just this space when I carve out this time to share. And so I'll kind of go back to this fullness. In my recent hula retreat, in my pa hula, somebody had shared this mana'o around pouring from the overflow rather than from the cup, rather than from the umeke or the bowl. Like, we pour when we are filled. And so that gave me a lot of grace for myself of not being able to quote unquote show up or serve in the way that I shoulda, coulda, woulda, all this kind of stories that we place on this, and understand that I don't even think my cup was even empty. I think the cup was lost or broken or chipped, or people were putting their own straws in it and sucking it dry and energetically. And so it was just a really interesting season to have witnessed. But now I felt like the cup is here, the cup is in the center, it's been immersed, it's been washed, it's been repaired. Obviously, I'm talking about my own life and my own journey, and a return to innocence, this return to the beginnings and the return. And even though there was this stripping away and this loss and this, changing so rapidly, and the removal of places and people and activities and items, and I just like, you know, going off the top of my head, that it was a return to innocence, and it brought back relationships and things that I enjoy doing as a child brought me back to this essence of movement and expression and creativity and surfing and dancing. And yeah, that return to innocence. And as the cup or the umeke started to fill, now there is this overflow. And so one of the first things that I'd like to share and to impart is this beautiful saying that I received the other week in a Vedic astrology reading. And it was at the completion of my first official yoga teacher training with Sattva Global Yoga Academy. And I did it here on Maui. I believe I talked about it a little bit on the podcast, but it was a 200-hour training, and yet far beyond that, because it was over a span of 5.5 months. And I have never really been able to commit to structure. Like, I find myself being such this wild, free spirit. I don't like the same routines over and over and over. Like, I love the spontaneous living and all that kind of stuff. But I know my soul was craving this structure and this deep commitment and this practice. And it was so beautiful. And I felt like, how can I, you know, I thought, and this is just speaking super open, of I thought, okay, I'm going to take this yoga teacher training. I've always been interested, and I could never find the right time. And if I did find someone that I maybe had resonance with, that time didn't align, and, you know, how could I just, it would be like, you know, 2.5 weeks at a time, straight from early in the morning to the afternoon. But, you know, with the kids and all this kind of stuff, just couldn't happen. And so when my husband was actually looking for a yoga training, because we had talked about this and kind of offering, you know, doing like husband and wife type offerings. You know, I work with women's circles, and I was trying to be like, you know, you should really work with men, and because you have a lot of, you know, wisdom to share, and you are a practicing, you know, like, you do practice yoga, I mean, to the point of the body postures. But yeah, anyway, so he shared with me this beautiful woman online, and her name is Corinne, and her Instagram is 1root7branches, and I highly suggest that you check her out, if not on Maui. But she does have like online offerings and whatnot. So anyways, this is my teacher, and sometimes I don't share where, you know, where I've gotten them, but she's so fabulous and has helped me so much, and my classmates, that I want to people to check her out. I want people to learn about the fullness of yoga. And so I felt like, okay, well, you know, I'll go to yoga training, and this would be good because I love the somatic work that I do, and it'll help me like get more flexible, or I don't even really know, because again, life was such a blur at the time going into this. But there was something about her magnetism that really pulled me in, and I could just feel the sincerity of her practice. And you know, if you've been here for a little bit, the goddess has been calling me in my life, and goddess spirituality has been the soft landing place for me after leaving, you know, my childhood faith. And the calls of the Divine Mother have been interwoven into this whole spiritual awakening journey, which I will share started back in 2017, when I felt the call through an amazing Indian bride that I had the pleasure of doing hair and makeup for here on Maui, who inspired me and my husband to travel to India. No, not to take a yoga training like most, you know, Western Western world people go. And we just went to explore. And what ended up happening was we went to all the temples and we went to the different places and we saw the, you know, the beauty and the struggles and the aliveness. And I just remember crying everywhere I went. I just cried. And I was like, what is happening to me? But it's like my heart was just, just breaking open. And I don't think I've ever felt so deeply. But that was really the beginnings of this path that I'm on of like higher spiritual, you know, ascension. And then also grounding too into who I truly am and stripping off the layers. And it's been this long process. And it's just really beautiful that to have had these experiences that kind of began the slow and then rapid awakening and then the stripping away and to bring you all the way back full circle to true essence of self and to give myself a practice to ground in these things and to that it became this way of life. So am I this flexible? I had a birthday party for my daughter this weekend and I had a mama friend come and she was like, oh, I saw you do the yoga. And she kind of did this like put her leg up in the air like, oh, you yogi now. And I'm like, ah. Because what I ended up walking away with, and I'm just looking at my certificate on my desk, it's Vedic and Tantric Transcendental Wisdom. Sattva Yoga is an integrative practice. It is not just a workout. In fact, sometimes it's not even a workout. It's like a work in. And we learned about Kriya Yoga, which is taking evolutionary action, and vinyasa, so what I think the Western world has come to know yoga only as, but meditation, man, especially meditation. Like I've been meditating, I can't believe it, since early September, and I've maybe missed two or three days, but it's just, oh, get up and you just sit and you meditate in the evening, you just meditate. And I remember in the beginning of this yoga journey feeling like, how the heck am I going to learn all this and incorporate all this? And, you know, like, but it just naturally over time becomes the new way that you operate, the way that you see the world, the compassion that you bring to your own life and to the people around you, and that all these lower mind tendencies are, you know, And without even trying. And that's the part of it that is so beautiful. And, you know, my teacher will just be like, because nature just corrects itself. When you are sincere in your practice and you show up, you know, to really access this deep cosmic consciousness and what I call God consciousness. And I have an episode that I want to talk later, even with studying this, these old texts, you know, through our guru who comes from Rishikesh to kind of oversee all of this. And there's just so much. And I think that that's the part of like, okay, well, you graduated with your teacher training. And so now you know all the things. And honestly, no, it's quite the opposite. It's like, I know so much now that I feel like I know nothing. And it's such a beautiful space because you do know so much and you are expanded like beyond anything you were even like. I couldn't have even imagined learning and evolving so rapidly in this 6 months, you know, that I'm still trying to find the words to communicate this. And yet it's super irrelevant because it's just like, well, then just live it. And this is where it begins. It's like, you know, like your yard, sometimes you have to aerate the yard. I feel like there's this deep aerating, like we just ripped off all the grass and we laid down new topsoil, and it's more dense and rich, and I've been replanted. But like, it's, I've been replanted. So then I, when, as I grow and as I rebuild, which I am, I'm rebuilding my home right now physically and rebuilding my life, I have this rich soil that is clean and it is pure and it is, yeah, just rich, like so much in it. And so as I feel called to share, I will. But a lot of it, it's just kind of like, I'm just gonna allow the teachings to show for itself. I am not here to, especially like, because I think that that's huge, right? When people go through different trainings, or I've been in the coaching world, you know, off and on, but especially like within yoga spaces, they've kind of been under this like capitalist consumerism, like, how can I show you how spiritual I am, or how can I prove to you? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to play that game. I just want life and the Great Mother to guide this whole experience, because that's literally what it's been anyways. Okay, so that was long about where I'm at, but it's really important because there's this piece of integration and integrating with my own culture, and then understanding that there's this world culture that goes beyond these spaces and places that we identify with. And so I really, you know, I just want to say publicly, like, I am a yogi. You know, there's not this paper that says, oh, well, now you're a yoga person. No, it was like probably the first week. It's a decision that this is the way that I will operate from now on. And did I have resistance? Oh, absolutely. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, but you're not Indian. And it's like, no, but the wisdom comes. It's this sacred technology comes to bless and enhance all, right? And so if truth cannot be shared with all and all cannot benefit, then is it really true? I don't think so. So anyways, going back to, and thank you for allowing me to share that imperfectly, and, you know, allowing people to have whatever thoughts around it. I just desire so much to express and to give gratitude. So anyways, Sattva Yoga Academy, I highly suggest, if you're looking for a yoga training that is stemmed in lineage and traditional knowledge, you know, not just looking to capitalize or, you know, make cash or I don't know. If you're on the internet, you know what I'm talking. If you've gone to a yoga studio too, like, there's this whole Western way that we've reduced yoga. And I kind of look at it, for me as a Hawaiian, it's like me only teaching a song without teaching the basics, without teaching the chanting, without teaching where I got it from, without acknowledging the kumu, without acknowledging the land. I mean, all of these different pieces that make hula like real, right? Where we just reduce it to, oh, I only want the pretty stuff. I only want the Hollywood version. Yeah, we've seen that, and that's fine. It's well, and people enjoy it. And it's the same thing with yoga. I'm only going to take the postures because I want a good sweat, and I want to make a whole business around it and blah, blah, blah. But then you're missing the full depth and the beauty and the richness and the sacredness. And it's not just this peaceful experience. Like, no, we're like roaring and crying and like getting in touch with rage. I mean, it's just this fullness. And then also learning about all the deities. Okay. I'm going to pause right there because, again, this is not what this episode is, but that's what happens when I do like one episode every 6 weeks. But I've been wrapping up a lot of things in life. So what I wanted to share today and what I will kind of segue into is about this idea, this line that is just sticking with me about embodying the Ma. And in Sanskrit, Ma is the mother, Mama. And I think about this daily. So I've been in this season, and one of the things that I've had resistance to in going with this yoga training is like, I thought I was gonna get skinny. I honestly thought, oh, she's gonna come out like, yes, having this yoga body or whatever, right? Like, that's the Western mindset of when we don't know what we don't know. Like, yeah, look at all these yoga girls. They're so flexible and they snatch waist. And I was like, I need this, you know? And it's just funny because I've never been more full in my body than I am now. This is weight-wise, size-wise, the fullest that I've been. And I'm smiling because then what I've been reflecting on is this invitation to be well with that and be so grateful for this body that does walk and swim and dance and surf and do yoga now and, you know, take my kids, and I have this vitality. And it's like in this yogic wisdom, it's like size is not health, you know. And I'm like, okay, sure, but if you spend any amount of time online or in the stores, everything in society is conditioning our minds and our content, whatever we consume, to be small. And I thought about this, you know, and as an embodiment facilitator, how when it comes to men, anyways, we, you know, and I have teenage boys, we're like, get big, get strong, like take up space, like show them what's up. You know, I have these teenage boys, and then they bring their friends and they come in the garage and they're like trying to get bigger, and, you know, and the way that they walk is like big, and everything's big. And I love my husband, and he's like, oh, you saw my chest is big, and I like my big legs. And it's like, yeah, and we're well with guys being big, but then and healthy. And I'm speaking into health, right? I'm not talking just about bigness in unhealthy ways. I'm talking about healthy ways. But when it comes to women, the goal is the opposite. Get smaller, get more snatch, change your body, change your face, take up less space, talk nicely, you know, curate this. Like, it, everything to me, the message, even though it's nice to say that we want to empower women to be in their power, but then yet we're like, tape your mouth when you sleep. I don't even know all the gadgets, because like, I've been in such a cave in the last 2 years, year and a half, 2 years, if almost. And so my time online has been very limited. But what I do notice when I go on, it's like, how many freaking supplements can one person take in a day? Oh, your hormones, that's why you're inflamed. Oh, this. And it is so overwhelming. And I'm like, so basically we're going to be spending 1,000 hours and $1,000 like a month just to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's like, whoa. And so I was kind of going in that, which makes sense why, you know, in this transition age, and I had I had this very real, this realization, you know, and I don't think it was just after the fires. I think it was just this seasoning. I am definitely entering this perimenopause stage. I'm gonna be 39, but I had my menstrual cycle from a very young age. Like, I want to say was like 9 years old, and it runs in the family. And then I had kids really young, and after my fourth baby, and I'm not a doctor, medical professional or whatever, but I'm just sharing my own experiences and my own way that I know, possibly, like, this is my experience. And after baby number five, I was like, okay, we're really done. And I had that permanent sterilization because I wasn't really in tune. I think at that time, I just was like, I don't want to have more kids. Like, I've contributed to society. Mahalo. So I had the permanent sterilization. It's like, not only do they tie your tubes, but then they burn your tubes. I don't know. I was just like ready. But now that, like, you know, my menstrual cycles are very, very short, grays are coming in, I definitely know that, you know, there are things post-fire with all the stress, the trauma, the survival living that did a number on my system. And so I'm trying to re-regulate that, figuring out the types of foods that are supportive, and all these things take time. Whereas in this society of quick fix, quick fix, quick fix, this is the thing, this is the thing, when in actuality, on the yogic perspective of things, and again, see, my new lens, my new soil, it's never just the one thing. It is a system, right? Like, we are a whole system. That's why it's like that holistic healing. It's all these parts, right? Of nervous system regulation, of diet, of breath, of, you know, the way that we interact, the compassion we have, the mindset. Like, it's all of these things. And most of them are free or like next to free. Food is not free. There are some supplements, but every body is so unique. Every journey is so unique. And we are so attached. You know, society and especially social media has made us so attached to this maiden archetype, this young girl. And, you know, I too am guilty. I look at pictures of when I was so skinny and I was like, you know, in my glowing or whatever. And then life, you know, will kind of take us on this journey, and it's learning to really love and appreciate this. And I have not mastered this. Okay, so this was me even a couple of weeks ago being told this and inviting into this, like, embody the ma. Because I was like, oh, you know, a little, I don't know, what do you call that? Like, when you diss yourself. Anyway, just being caught. And that's why we have teachers to remind us, to pull us back. But yeah, these attachments that we have to this maiden archetype, it really leads to a lot of identity issues and a lot of personal fulfillment issues. And if we're not mindful, I see how much, you know, the idea of the ideal weight or the ideal body type can take up all this brain space, which ultimately takes us away from living in our purpose, like living in this dharma, living in this, what should I be focusing on that is life giving to me? Because all these ideals that make us feel less than or out of our full joy are life extracting. And so I just think that finding community, and even for me, something that has changed for me is in the way that I'm dressing now. I'm really looking at every aspect of my life of, like, if this doesn't fit, make me feel joy, it's okay. Like, just wear a bigger size then, or, like, I love linen all of a sudden because it's very flowy. It's like, did I have to squeeze myself in these things, or do I have to stand in front of the mirror that long? No. You know, finding newer ways to love on our body and to care for ourselves, and self-massage, and like different things that release these attachments. It is such a wild journey. And so, you know, also with like this cultural reflection and reflecting on what it is to embody the ma, I think about embodying the mother and the great mother, like the goddess, and how when you look at old, when you look at books, especially of one of my favorites, When God Was a Woman, and you look at matriarchal societies from the beginning of time, Mesopotamia, you know, far back as you can go, what was celebrated was a woman in her fullness. It was that fertility. It was that almost like that fat on her body. It was like the full breasts. And not, of course, everything has doesn't have to come with a disclaimer, but you know, people just feel some type of way when you talk about body type. So take this with all the love, whatever the body is. It doesn't have to be so full if your body is naturally so VV, so thin, all good. But the fullness was the celebrated, was the beauty, was the life-giving. And I think about, you know, even culturally, the tutu, like that mother figure in your life, which just gave the best hugs and you could just come into her lap or to her arms, and there was this extra layers that made you feel safe and squishy, you know, and you just love that peace. And you felt so safe. And it's like there is eventually this season, no matter what Instagram has to say about it, like you can be your best life after menopause and have abs and this and this. And it's like, I'm pretty sure at the end, right, and healthy, my kids aren't going to be like, I'm so glad my mom was snatched. I'm pretty sure they're going to be reflecting on, I'm so glad that my mom was present. I'm so glad that my mom, like, gave the best hugs, cooked great meals, like came to my things, you know, these are the things people are going to remember. So whatever brings us most joy, if abs is the thing that gives us life, trust me, I am here for this health journey. I still am like working out and lifting and whatever, whatever, but it doesn't need to take up the priority of the brain space. It's like, do the things that give you life. And then allow nature to do its thing as well. I am a little concerned about these shots that now have entered, you know, the realm now, because it's like, well, why not? Why not just take the shot and have the ideal of this and this and this? And it's like, well, I remember, because after my fourth baby, I felt this pressure to fix my mom body, you know, and I don't know if I've ever shared this publicly, but I ended up having like this tummy tuck, and it was like I felt like I couldn't have this belly, like it was bad, and it was like, oh, how dare you, you know. And so it was like this pressure I think I felt because I wasn't in an embodied state. I just definitely, yeah, and I have a lot of compassion for myself at that time. It doesn't mean you won't gain weight, so don't believe that, oh, if your stomach's flat, we're like, no, because it can still fluctuate. It was more about me having this really big diastasis recti because I had a transverse baby. So my muscles were protruding and it was giving me a lot of back issues and whatnot. But I still remember being in this place of like, my belly is bad, where if I had taken the longer route, could I have healed that? Yeah, I probably could. But again, it's like this attachment to this certain look or this maiden or whatever. And anytime we have attachments to things, it really holds us back from our growth. And that's something that, again, we're going to learn no matter which way we go. It's going to be a lesson that we learn by through experience or through trial and error or whatever. So I think that, yeah, just remembering the women in your life who radiate beauty beyond the body. And I've been thinking a lot about this, and especially in my, yeah, social media, like, reprogramming, if you will. I don't know if I have the word for this yet, but I realize that the people that I look up to the most in life, these masters in my reality, this who have this influence in my life, whether from afar or intimately, you know, they're not online, which means they're not concerned with the trends. There's this simplicity to them. There's this elegance to them. There's this relaxing into what is, you know, the wrinkles, the the same outfits, the devotion to their purpose. And it's just the most beautiful magnetic thing. And so it comes really down to simplifying life and living in this really humble but powerful way. And so when you look at, you know, people in your life and you take the time to bring that reflection, I am curious to see how that supports you. If this embodying a new fuller size or fuller body is also something that is tender for you. So yeah, just, you know, thinking about embodying wholeness as a conscious choice. You know, integrating practices, I think that is really important for me. So something that came out of this yoga teacher training was conscious rituals. And I had been doing rituals, but not consistently. And not where it was like really steeped in lineage. And, you know, as a Hawaiian, like, our rituals get a little, I don't know, confusing, I guess, because there's still a lot of hukihuki with Christianity and being Hawaiian. And so, like, to what point do you worship and whatever? So no story around it. I have, through puja, which is like our rituals of offerings to the divine, to the mother, to the ishtas, allowed me to personalize my own rituals as a Hawaiian. So that when I offer my oli, my voice, my chanting, when I offer ho'okupu, when I stir the ava, there is this conscious ritual. Otherwise, you're just doing motions, right? Like, otherwise, you're just saying words. There's not this pull to align with the divine. And when people have, you know, hang-ups around this, and I'll wrap this into why it's important to embody the ma, is that often because of, you know, church hang-ups or whatever, it's like, we don't worship idols or blah, blah, blah. And I had all these things of statues, whatever. Those are the things before, when I was really into religion. But one thing that my teacher had shared was, we align with the deities. We place them on the altar as visual reminders to offer the best of ourselves, because the divine within is the divine without. It's a reflection. And so thinking of worship, yes, but aligning ourselves with the different aspects of the divine. And so I think about this in embodying the ma, embodying the great mother, the mother without. You know, what does that mean for all of us when you think of the mother? The mother archetype, or the great mother, the great goddess. What is the wisdom? What are the attributes of the mother that you would like to emulate in your life? And vitality for sure is one of them. The health, the way that we eat, the things we place in our body, the way that we adorn ourselves. Like, these are, you know, our bodies to me are this living altar. And so when we offer the highest things to ourselves, we are honoring the goddess. We are honoring the mother. And embodying the mother, to me, is like the next step. You know, as maybe those of us who are heading into this midlife, that's the invitation. And I, you know, I'm just going to end this right here. But just encouraging us to reflect on where we are, especially with embodying this mother. And you don't have to have children in order to be a mother. Like, just in the planet, you know, we are mothers, we're teachers, we're nurturers by nature. We're creatrix, like, we're creators in this planet. And so how can we, on our own journey, embrace the fullness, regardless of what the body looks like, right? Because sometimes our motherhood or our embodiment gets measured by the outward things. I do it, have done it to myself, you know, and yet the invitation is for me, and I offer this same thing to you, is how can you embody the Ma on its highest, purest level? So this is where I'm going to end. And it comes from one of the books that I was reading alongside this wonderful training. And it comes from our guru. And it is a declaration from one of the mantras in the Vedas, these ancient scripts, scriptures. It says, let my consciousness move beyond the body. May my consciousness expand beyond this body. May the body burn to ash. And may, what they're saying is, remember to cognize the self beyond the body. And then to remember what you have seen. Remember what you have done. Do not forget. May I never forget. What are they saying? That you ultimately know who you are. This is an act of remembrance. Self-realization. What is that? When the memory shines forth, the true knowledge shines forth, and it feels like you have remembered your own nature. So leaving this, embodying the Ma, remembering your true essence, your true nature, and that as you move forward in your day, and as you, you know, are become this light and this influence in your own part of the world, that you're not just this body, but that this body is really the vessel for this incredible soul. So maybe we just merge these two together, and to treat our bodies with so much love and compassion and gratitude. And so that whenever we, you know, do our work in the world, that is the thing that shines forth, and that is the thing that we become known for and remembered for, is like the shine that we bring to this planet. And there's so much, and even the slightest things that we do, offering our voice, offering our time, offering the littlest things, they uplift humanity through the smallest acts. So this is my prayer that I just wanted to leave at the end of this quite long episode, but I can't wait for the next one, and sending all my love. Mahalo for joining me today on this episode of Good Girl Gone Goddess. I hope what we explored today supports you in your own personal journey. And if you found it to be meaningful, I really appreciate hearing from you, especially when you leave me a review or tag me on social media. For deeper dives and access to my monthly Good Girls Guide, join me on Substack, where I share exclusive insights, upcoming classes, and community offerings. And until next time, keep shining your light, and I will talk to you on the next episode.